Time to chat with Elliot Friedman, our NHL insider, brought to you by Eastside Kia. Their zero compromise sales event continues. You can get a special edition winter ready Rondo for just $142 bi-weekly. Snow tires, remote starter, heated seats all included. Eastside Kia, 23rd and Barlow Trail. Elliot, how was your weekend?
Good morning. I'm doing very well. How was yours, Dean?
It was good. We had more snow here, so it was, again, trying to keep three kids from driving me over the edge.
Yeah, I heard Kelly was driving back to Calgary from Edmonton, and, you know, first of all, he's a lousy driver to begin with,
yeah.
And secondly, he was mentioning that he was having a tough time because of the way the weather was.
It can be, and again, it's like the first time we've ever seen it when it comes down. What? How do we do this?
Toronto's worse. We see rain, and everybody here becomes infuriating.
Yeah.
Just awful.
We talked, I guess it was on Friday, I asked you about, because you had kind of heard that maybe there were some people around the league that were questioning or curious about the situation that existed that saw the Philadelphia Flyers reacquire Steve Downey from the Colorado Avalanche in exjange for Max Talbot. Any more clarity on that?
Yeah, I asked around, and you know, obviously people thought it was a weird trade. You rarely see a first-rounder get traded for a guy who, well, a useful player, is now pretty much a fourth-liner. And basically what it goes back to was, and you can find the story if you choose to Google it, during training camp, Downey got angry at Landeskog for a trip during a scrimmage, and he drilled him. And I was just told that from that day, you know, considering, you know, Downey was a bit unrepentant about it, and I just heard that the Avalanche decided that they were going to make the change at that time. That, you know, you can't have guys doing that. I mean, the timing still of it is very odd, and, you know, it's an interesting time for the deal, but I was told that basically the Avalanche had decided that when that happened and Downey was kind of unapologetic about it, that the time was going to come where he was going to get dealt. And I believe Philly was specifically targeted because they knew that Philly would probably have interest knowing the guy. And the other thing, too, is one of Patrick Roy's best friends and coaching buddies is a guy by the name of Benoit Grue, who coaches in the Quebec League. Benoit Grue and Max Talbot went to the Memorial Cup Finals together. And I think Roy had, you know, some advice that he was the kind of guy he wanted, and Colorado specifically targeted that deal.
Yeah, it's whenever you're, because he's still relatively young, Steve Downey, and now this is Philadelphia, Tampa Bay, Colorado, back to Philadelphia. When you've been traded four times, it's got to be red flags at some point.
Well, you know, Downey's an edgy guy, just in general. And the one thing someone pointed out to me this week, and Glenn Healy and I were kind of talking about it too, is he went through a pretty traumatic experience early in his life, and where, you know, his father and him were in a car accident, and his father, who Downey was very close with, was killed, and, you know, he saw it. And I think that there are people in the game who have tremendous empathy for him because of what he went through and what that can do to a person. It doesn't always excuse what he does. He needs to keep himself under control on the ice. You know, he's a guy who's been suspended for 20 games before. But I think there are people who see that this is a guy who's overcome a lot, some very long odds to get where he is. And so I think there is, I don't know if they always accept what he does, but they have an understanding that he's been through a lot and maybe deserves a bit more rope than some other guys would get.
So what about staying with Philadelphia, the situation that went down with Ray Emery, Braden Holtby, that whole thing? The NHL basically said, really nothing here as far as grounds for us to suspend Ray Emery. Do you agree, disagree, your thoughts?
Well, I don't like it. You know, I just think that, you know, I tried to reach George McPhee on Saturday, and he wouldn't talk. And apparently he turned down all interviews requests, which is fair. You know, if he does it for me, and he does it for everybody else, I get that. You know, their point apparently, though, is when Ryan Miller was hit by Lucic a couple of years ago, you know, they decided that the goalies were not fair game. You know, you have to protect them. And even though this is kind of goalie-on-goalie crime and a little different, You know, they're not happy because they lose Holtby, who was not a willing combatant, and, you know, they're in big trouble. And I think there are people inside the league who are not happy that Campbell and Shanahan took the stance they did, but it was what they believed. I do think it's going to lead to change. I think one thing that you're going to try to see the league definitely push through is that it's an automatic suspension pending a review for any player, whether a plus skater or a goalie, who instigates a fight with another goalie. I think also the kinds of things you'll be discussed, this is just going to bring the idea of team fines for suspensions back more into the forefront, because Paul Holmgren was in the Flyers' dressing room in the second intermission, and you can only assume how angry he was at them for being down 6-0. And I think the other things you'll see is, discussed, I should say, because you don't know if it'll actually happen, is the idea that if a goalie crosses the blue line to fight, an automatic suspension too. And the other one that might come out of this is right now, guys, if you get an instigator penalty in with the last 5 minutes of a game, the coach gets fined too. I wonder if you might see that extended to the entire third period. I think there are people who don't want to see that happen again.
It's hard. Sorry, Rhett, go ahead. I was going to say it's hard for me not to be hypocritical on this, because as soon as I heard it went down, I wanted to see it, and it was like, well, yeah. I want to watch it. And I'm very thankful that Holtby wasn't hurt, because if he gets hurt, then I'm sick to my stomach about it. I don't know how do you pick sides. I can't.
You know, it's true, because, you know, George Parros opening night, yeah, I was like, oh, look, Oren Parros is kind of laughing. And then when he went down the way he did, it makes you sick. And, you know, in the Colorado-Montreal game on Saturday night, Parros fought Patrick Bortolo, who's a big guy. And you know, it was Parros' second game back, and I was like, okay, is he going to be okay? And he went down to the ice hard.
Yes, he did.
And you couldn't see how he landed for a second. And for that quick second, I was just sick, and I was so relieved when he got back up. You know, Rhett, the one I always remember with you is the one in the Stanley Cup Final. Yeah. When you fought, I can't remember who you fought at the end of that game, and I didn't think much of it until you went down, and I was right there when you got carried off the ice with the broken ankle.
Yeah.
And it just happens, you know, and that's the one thing. Like, I've been pro-fighting my entire life. I haven't had a problem with it. Now I'm just watching the way guys land, and I tell you, it just makes me ill sometimes.
Is it the fact that guys are getting bigger and stronger, and it's just, it's getting to be too much? I mean, Bob Probert was as tough as they come, but he wasn't 6'8", 270. I mean,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, there's
and
guys,
not trained to do it either.
Yeah, he just went out there and chucked them. Exactly.
Yeah.
Is that the difference now, or is it just circumstance? I mean,
It's just the guys are bigger and stronger, and you know, some guys have learned like MMA style takedowns too, and I think that's added to the problem. I should mention here, because I know a lot of people asked about it, is the performance of the referee Francois Saint-Laurent.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I talked to a few guys about it, and I had one referee call me and say, you know, he just said, look, I think, because he knew the guy was getting buried, and he was wondering if we were going to talk about it on Saturday. And the one thing he said, and I do agree with, is it was a pretty unusual situation. And, you know, Le Cavalier was injured. He didn't play on Saturday night, and there were four other fights going on at the same time. Le Cavalier was hurt, and they were trying to get him off the ice. And, you know, normally when you're – and he's a referee, he's not a linesman – and then normally what you're supposed to do is, and he tried to get in there, but if the guys are throwing punches and the referee or linesman can get hurt, they are supposed to, by teaching, back out and put the situation under control. But I think they do realize that he should have obviously gotten back in there sooner. And I think you'll see a memo go out to all the referees and linesmen that, yes, we are supposed to get out of the way if they start throwing punches, but we do have to do a bit better recognizing of when a guy is vulnerable and hurting, and we have to get back in there faster.
Just quickly, Colorado.
Yep.
12-1.
You know, there was a small play in their game, Rhett, the other day. Like, Ryan Wilson, the defenseman, goes in and starts the rush. He gets in trouble, he throws the puck back to the point, and there's Ryan O'Reilly, O'Reilly's in perfect defensive position covering for his buddy. He throws the puck back in deep. He chases after it. Parenteau sees that he's back there, that he's going in. He rotates back to be the third forward high, and they force a penalty. And I just think that team is playing smart hockey right now. Like, the other thing, too, last night in your game, TJ Brody charging back to stop Hossa on that breakaway. I'm writing about this today. Those are the kinds of plays that Edmonton is not making. And Calgary and Colorado, on paper, we're not expected to be better than Edmonton this year, but they are. And one of the reasons are the effort and the commitment those guys are taking individually and as a team, and Edmonton is not. You see the goals the Oilers are giving up. There's some really awful team play going on there.
How do you fix it? How do you start to fix it?
I think that you have to. They've got 67 games left this year. Their job is to teach their players how to be responsible. Because to me, that's one of the biggest differences. Like I said, you watch your guys, they're competing hard. You know, like I said, Brody last night, you know, does Calgary get that great win last night if TJ Brody doesn't charge down the ice to stop Hossa on that breakaway and not give up on the play? Does, you know, is Colorado 12-1 if O'Reilly and Parenteau aren't watching where guys are going and making sure they're in position to defend? You look at the goals Edmonton gives up. They've got four guys down at the other team's goal line. Petrie had one where he gave up on a puck that got by him and Helm scored in a breakaway. Look, they're a mess right now, but some of those mistakes, Dean, are really self-inflicted, and they have to change the mentality.
Just to double back, and we're basically out of time, but
I'll make it fast.
Well, and I don't want to put you on the spot. Colorado with Semyon Varlamov, A, are you hearing, is there anything new as far as what's happening there? And B, do you have a problem with them supporting him and taking them with him on the road?
You know, this is what I, first of all, he hasn't been charged yet. This is what I believe, Dean. After the Duke Lacrosse case, I believe you should wait. I mean, it looks bad, but, and I'm not saying she's not telling the truth because I don't know.
Yeah.
But remember in Duke Lacrosse, we convicted all those guys and it found out it wasn't the truth. That's all I'm saying. Let's wait until we know the truth. And if he's guilty, he should be punished severely, but we just don't know yet.
Thank you, sir. We'll do it again on, I guess, Friday.
All right. Have a great week.
Thanks, pal. Elliot Friedman. Brought to you by Eastside Kia with their Zero Compromise sales event. You can get a special edition winter-ready Rondo for just $142 bi-weekly. Snow tires, remote starter, heated seats, all of it included. Eastside Kia, 23rd and Barlow Trail.